Ron, you'll appreciate if you had to buy your own meal, if you did, you never know if you're, but if you can relate to the little guy that was asked, when the teacher was asking him about Father's Day and asked, do you know what Father's Day is? And the little guy said, yeah, it's the same thing as Mother's Day, only we don't have to spend as much money. So, no, I can't say that. I had a great Father's Day. It's been an awesome day. We were able to host my dad, Sandy's dad, of course, all of our kids except Spencer and Uriah, but, you know, two sons and son-in-law and two babies under 3 months of age, and then Axel was there as well. So I've just had a fantastic day. And I know Father's Day doesn't, that topic doesn't hit everybody, but how many of you in here are fathers? Look at that, hits a bunch. And if not, you had a father at some point in time. Now, whether that was a good experience, bad experience, that's one of the things we're going to talk about this evening, because I want to talk to you about a dad like God. And if you want to go ahead and turn, we're going to be in the book of Luke, a very familiar passage that we'll get to here in just a little while. But Doug Lansky, he's been a travel writer and photographer for many years. And over the course of those years, he's taken a lot of pictures of signs. Many of you have seen different, like, church signs, you know, that they're just comical. You read them, and it's like, really? That was really on a church sign type deal. Well, he goes around taking pictures of signs like that. And then he actually, if you ever want to go, he posts them on his website called signspotting.com. Signspotting.com. And I just want to share with you, I kind of went through it a little bit, I want to share with you some examples of some of those signs that are on his page. First of all, there's this one that has this big yellow sign, and on the yellow sign it says, not a through street. And underneath it, right underneath it, is a blue sign that says evacuation route. right there next to each other. And then I saw one this big sign that said, please follow one-way arrows. It's like, is everybody not? I mean, is everybody going the wrong direction, or what's up with that? I like this one. There's a sign on his site that says, the promised land. And right next to it is another sign that says closed. Hope that's not the case, right? There's one that was an advertising sign for 24-hour fitness, complete with escalators to do your workout. I don't know. My favorite sign that had lifeguard, phone 066. I'm like, really? I'm drowning. How am I supposed to call 066 to get a lifeguard, right? How about bottomless pit, 65 feet deep? And then I'll leave you with this one. Last but not least, don't stand on the toilet. I guess somebody was doing that, right? They had to put a sign up for whatever reason. But, you know, these signs, they can be funny, but some of them, when you put them together, they're also kind of confusing, aren't they? It's like, what do you mean, please follow one-way arrows? Why wouldn't you type deal, right? So I think the message that we can get out of that is sometimes we as dads, we as fathers, also give some confusing information, some confusing messages to our kids. Maybe we have said one thing to them, but actually did another. Maybe we have talked to them about how they should live, but yet they've witnessed us living differently, a different life. And what we really need is we need a mentor to teach us dads, you know, the real way of how to offer a consistent model and be a consistent role model in order to raise godly kids who will in turn want to raise godly kids. And so this Father's Day, I want to take a look at, obviously, the greatest father of all. I want to take a look at God. And we're going to look at the parable of the prodigal son. But instead of focusing on the son in the story, I want us to really concentrate on the father. And I want us to look what he's doing, listen to how he reacts, to different situations, because the father in this story obviously is representative of our Heavenly Father. So there should be some things that we can get out of this of how we should be able to be that mentor, how we should be able to be that father. Now here's the deal. We're sitting on a day that we call Father's Day, and we're talking about fathers, but the truth of the matter is there is something in this for fathers and mothers and teachers and fellow work with our employees. Any person that is in any position to be a mentor to anybody else, I think there are lessons that we can learn from this. And who better to learn from than from God the Father? So I'm going to read this parable, and I realize it's a rather lengthy compared to what we usually do for Scripture, but I think it's important, and I want to ask you to pay particular attention to what the Father does, to what the Father says, and how the Father reacts throughout this parable. So let's read Luke 15, beginning with verse 11. It reads, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his scripture. I find this to be one of the most moving stories in the entire Bible. And I think from it we can learn a great deal of how to be parents or how to be mentors to different people in any situation. So what I want to do, I want to have a little bit of fun here. I want to ask you fathers in particularly, but obviously everyone could participate, but I'm going to ask you to take a little pledge with me this evening. I want those who are dads and anyone else to take the quote, "the father's pledge." Now I'm not going to ask you to do anything out loud, I just want to ask you to really think about this pledge, and I want to ask that you kind of consider this pledge personally to God, between you and God, but also maybe to your kids or grandkids or people that you mentor. But before I give you any part of the pledge, I got to tell you, and I have to confess to you right up front that I have failed as a father in all four areas of this pledge that I want to talk about that we can get out of this scripture this evening. So what I'm asking you to do is to take this pledge promising God that from today onward, we will make strides to try to be more godlike and try to be more of a godlike parent and or mentor to those people in our lives. So here we go. First part of the pledge. I will be approachable. I will be approachable. Did you notice that both of these young men, in whatever way they needed to, but both of these young men felt like they could approach their father and talk to him? Not only that, they could approach him with negative feelings of what was going on in their lives. The first son asked for his inheritance, and it was not proper for someone to get an inheritance before the father had passed away. So in reality, he was asking for something that wasn't even his. But he approached his father with that. The second son went to his father complaining that he was treating the first son in a different way and in a better way than he was treating him, even though he had been the one that had been loyal and faithful to him. Also, I think we should notice that both sons felt that they could approach their father with whatever was on their minds. Now, I got to tell you, I don't think that either son in this story was overly disrespectful. I mean, when you read it, they really weren't that disrespectful. You know, they were just telling what was on their minds and what their feelings were. But notice that didn't stop the dad from listening. It didn't stop him. And I think this is an area that many of us fall short. At least I know I have. And I found that most of us at times aren't even aware of the fact that our kids don't think that they can come to us with things that are going on in their lives. They don't think they can come to us and share with us what is truly on their minds. It reminded me of the story of old Fred. And old Fred was in the hospital, and around his hospital bed, he was surrounded by a lot of well-wishers. And old Fred wasn't doing very well. He was even to the point where he couldn't talk anymore. And suddenly he motioned frantically to his minister, who was there at his bedside, to give him something to write on so he could write a note. And the minister hurries and grabs him a pen and a tablet of paper, and old Fred scribbles something out and hands it to the minister. And just as he did, and the minister's taking it, old Fred passed away. And the minister thinks it's best not to look at the note at that point in time, and he just slid it into his coat pocket. And a couple days later at the funeral, as the minister was finishing his eulogy, he realized that he was wearing the same jacket that he had been wearing at the hospital that day. And so he reaches in his pocket and he said, "Fred handed me a note just before he died." He says, "I haven't looked at it, but knowing Fred, I'm sure there's something in this that will be inspirational for all of us." And opening the note, he read aloud, "Help, you're standing on my oxygen hose." And I think sometimes our kids feel like we're cutting off their oxygen supply. I've had students come to me at school in different situations and share problems. And when I've suggested that they need to go and speak with their parents or talk to their parents, you wouldn't believe how many times their reaction or what they say is, "Oh, you don't understand. They would never listen to me." Are we cutting off their oxygen supply? Now, that might be true or it might not be true. I don't know, but the point is, in their minds, in their world, they feel like they can't take that to their parents because of some reaction that they're going to get. And the truth is, whether it's true or not, for young people as well as adults, that is their perception. And how many times does perception eventually become a reality? So what I need to ask myself, and what you need to ask yourself, is, am I showing signs to my kids that if they have a problem, that they can't come share it with me because of my reaction? You don't know what their present circumstances are. You don't know exactly what they want to talk to you about, but they want to many times share with you. And I also understand that it changes as kids' ages change as well. You know, but sometimes even as they get older, they find it even more difficult to come and talk to you too. So sometimes we need to just maybe ask them what their feeling is on that. And if you haven't been approachable in the past, you know, if you're going to ask, be willing to hear what they have to say. But if you haven't been approachable in the past, then let them know that from today, from this time forward, you're going to be a better listener. You're going to be more approachable, even when you disagree. Stephen Covey teaches the principle. I love this. Stephen Covey teaches, seek first to understand and then to be understood. Seek first to understand and then to be understood. And that's true for everyone that we interact with, but especially, I think, with our kids. So first of all, I will be approachable. Secondly, I will be discerning. I will be discerning. Two of the best commercials I think I ever saw on during the Super Bowl. You know how there's always this hype on the Super Bowl commercials? And I don't know, it's probably 10 or 12 years ago, but the two of them were at the same time, and they were both sponsored by the AmeriQuest Mortgage Company. And you probably, maybe you'll remember them too, but both had the same message. And the message was this: don't judge too quickly. Okay? Now keep that message in your mind. Because in one ad, in a convenience store, there's a convenience store shopper standing at the counter getting ready to pay, and he's on his cell phone. And while he's there at the counter on the cell phone, whoever he's talking to through the phone, he tells this person, "You're getting robbed." And the next thing you know, the two clerks in the store spray him with pepper spray, swing a baseball bat and knock him down, and then hit him with an electric cattle prod. All because he's like, "You're getting robbed," but they didn't have all the details. In the second commercial, and I like this one, there's a man who's preparing this romantic dinner, and he's chopping up vegetables, but on the stove, there's this tomato soup that is simmering. Well, the cat, a white cat, jumps up on the counter and is coming across and happens to knock the tomato sauce off the stove, and then the cat loses its footing and falls on the floor into the tomato sauce. And just at the time the guy reaches down to pick up the cat, the door opens, and in comes the man's wife, seeing him hold this cat with this red fluid dripping from its body and holding this large knife in his other hand. The scene appears to be pretty horrific, but as these ads show, sometimes we need to be more discerning. Sometimes we need to stay a little bit calmer and get more details before we jump to conclusions. We need to see things from every angle. Now, when the prodigal son came to his dad and asked for his inheritance, remember, before it's due to him, what did the father do? He gave it to him, right? He gave it to him. Now, do you really think that this father didn't know that the son was going to go blow that money? I think he knew what was going to happen. I think he knew his son, And I think he knew the situation, and I think he knew that he was going to go blow the money. I mean, do you think that the dad was unaware that the son had this yearning to live this party life and go hang out with these wild living women? But what does it say? What's our scripture say? Look at verse 12. Chapter 15, verse 12, it says, "The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." I'm pretty sure that the father probably thought this thing through. And I'm pretty sure then he decided to go ahead and give the son the money, even though he knew that he was going to go blow the whole thing. I really believe he knew he wasn't going to come back with any money. So he obviously discerned that the lesson that this boy was going to learn was more valuable than his half of the estate. Now, I don't know if he had had a different boy with a different temperament, with different circumstances, maybe he would have decided to do something differently. But I truly believe that this father in this story knew that he was going to blow it, and he knew that he had to allow him to go do that and experience it so that he would get the lesson out of it. And I think that's one of the hardest parts of parenting, is discerning what's the best action to take for that individual kid. What's going to be best in that given situation? And I got to tell you, I happen to disagree with the philosophy that says treat every child the same, because I don't believe every child's the same. I think they react differently to different circumstances. And my job as a parent is to know my children well enough to know what's going to work for them or not work for them, and to help them make decisions accordingly. And that will only happen if we truly take time to know them and build relationships with them. So the second one is, I will be discerning. The third part of the pledge is this: I will be forgiving. From this point on, I will be forgiving. Now, I know this is a news flash to you, all right? But did you know that there are going to be times in your life when your children are going to disappoint you? That ever happened? Of course it does. It does to everybody. They're going to make wrong decisions. They're going to go against your will. Kids, grandkids, whatever that case might be. And for those of you who still have young children, you're going to experience that at some point in time on some level with every one of them. It just happens. When asked how he was going to handle his 12-year-old daughter's future boyfriends, Hall of Famer, NBA Hall of Famer Charles Barkley responded, "I figure if I kill the first one, the word will get out." Did you notice how the father treated his repentant son? Notice I said repentant son. He threw a party for him, right? He threw a party. He said, "It's time to celebrate." He said, "My son was lost, but now he's found. And we're going to celebrate." That's something to celebrate. And now we also need to notice that the son was truly sorry for what he had done, for what he had done wrong. But the thing that just slays me is how overwhelmingly willing the father was to forgive him. I don't know that I would have been that willing, you know, if one of them took half of all of everything I was going to plan to leave them and they just went and blew it. I just don't know. That's why I need to take this pledge. Because we're learning from our Heavenly Father here. Remember, this father in this story is representing our Heavenly Father. So the question is, when our kids go the wrong way, when our kids mess it up, and when our kids come back and seek our forgiveness, how do we treat them? How do we treat them? Do we tell them, just, you know what, you just need to get away from me for a little while because I'm really upset right now and I really don't feel like talking to you? Do we say, you know what, I'm not listening to you because I've heard it before and I know you're just going to go mess it up again? Or do we say, welcome home, let's party, let's celebrate? It's obvious what God would do from the story. And now we need to follow his example and pledge to do the same thing. So the pledge is, I will be forgiving. And then finally, I will be thoughtful. Did you notice the older boy's reaction? He wasn't a happy camper, was he? He was flat out ticked off. I mean, he's upset with his father. And I got to tell you, in a lot of ways, I can't blame him. And you know, you probably read the story and think the same thing, right? Well, I understand what he's saying. You know, he stayed there. He's been faithful and loyal and worked all the time. I really don't blame him for being a little upset. His brother had gone out and blown his half of the inheritance. You know, while he had stayed and remained faithful. Yet his dad goes out of his way to rejoice over his son's return while he's been there all this time. Never had any party thrown for him. Let's look at, again in chapter 15, Luke 15, look at verses 29 and 30. It says, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. What was he saying? He's basically saying, Dad, look, this ain't fair. There's nothing fair about this situation and what you're doing. I don't think you're treating me as well as you're treating my brother who did you wrong. I mean, this brother's not rejoicing over his return, is he? He's ticked off. He's not happy about the situation at all, and I think we can relate to that. But the fact is, here's the learning. The fact is that the brother was wrong, and his dad needed to straighten him out. Now, here's where we can learn a lesson or two, all right? Son's upset. He's mad at Dad. Dad didn't rebuke him. Dad didn't yell at him. Dad didn't tell him, you know what, son, it's about time you grow up and act like a man. He didn't say any of those things. Instead, and I don't want to put words in, let's look at verses 31 and 32. Instead, he said this, my son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You see, this father was thoughtful enough to know that sometimes when our kids hurt, even if the hurt isn't justified, but when our kids hurt, we need to be thoughtful enough to affirm our love for them and explain the situation. In so many words, the dad said, listen, son, this is what you need to know. I love you. And I care about you. And I want you to know that that will always be the case. But I also love your brother. And he was lost. And now he's found. And so it's time for us to put away the past and time for us to celebrate. Time for us to celebrate the future that we can now have together. You see that wisdom that the Father had? Sometimes we understand why our kids feel the way they do, and sometimes we don't understand it all. But this is what we can do. We can always take time to be thoughtful enough to be considerate, take time to explain, and take time to show them genuine love. So as you're sitting out here tonight, and I got to tell you, I've really challenged myself. But regardless of your situation, dad, mom, granddad, grandma, mentor, are you willing to take this kind of pledge this evening? I hope so. And I want to close by admitting to you that I have never been perfect in any of these areas of fathering. I've messed up every one of those four, certain times in certain ways. But I'm going to try, and I'm going to continue to grow, and I'm going to do what I can to live up to the model that Jesus gave us of our Heavenly Father in this story of the prodigal son. Because I think for each of us, we all have our different weaknesses and we all have our different strengths. But what I do believe is we all can become more of the person to express love to others that God wants us to be. And so for the sake of your family, for the sake of your friends, I hope and pray that you'll join me in taking this pledge this evening. Let's pray.